we are going to be sharing just some of the little important clips in today's episode. So enjoy those.
You've just tuned into Rebel Wellness Podcast, your resource for realigning and revitalizing your health and well-being. I'm your host, Kaylee, also known as Coach Kales. I'm a holistic health educator, certified nutritionist, and fitness professional of nearly a decade. I'm stoked to have you with us. You just joined a community of amazing souls who are ready to break free from the confines of the often outdated and confusing health advice all around us. Living in a world overwhelmed by quick fix diets and unrealistic beauty and body standards, us rebels stand for change. If you're like me, you're exhausted with the confusion and polarization plaguing the social media health scene. My mission is to empower you to step beyond today's diet culture. Adopt a holistic health approach paired with the foundations of science for lasting, well-rounded wellness. Through teaching you how to tune in and embrace your mind, body, and soul, we'll reject one-size-fits-all solutions, realigning you on a better path that honors your unique needs and values. With new episodes weekly, this podcast is your sanctuary for deep wellness exploration, featuring expert advice, real-life stories, and a true commitment to your growth. Your journey to better health and simplicity in life begins now. Let's jump right in. Welcome back to the show, Rebel. It is already the best of series time. I am shook how fast this year went by. And, you know, it was a wild year. There was a lot going on. I don't know about you, but I feel like probably all that craziness is exactly why we have already arrived here. But I'm just glad. I am glad that we're here. And I had a really fun year. This year, the podcast was such a blast, getting a lot more interviews in. And we can't wait to stack up the lineup for next year. Well, we already have the lineup stacked. So I'm excited for you guys to see who we have in store. With that said, though, I just want to take a moment. Thank you so much for listening to our show and supporting us. It really means the world to us. And it's, you know, we're closing out year two. Some people have given up already, and we're not giving up. And I hope that you guys have been gaining a lot of value. I've really enjoyed getting DMs and, you know, text messages for those of you who listen that are old clients of mine or current clients of mine, as well as emails. I've gotten a couple of emails this entire year where people have told me how the episodes have helped them, especially that cortisol episode. Gosh, I got so much like feedback that was positive from that episode that I had no idea was going to happen. So anyways, guys, if you really appreciated anything from season two, definitely let me know. Let me know so that we can continue to make that content and content like it, or that topic area, whatever it is, for you guys so you can continue to learn. But, you know, I will give you a little sneak peek. We are going to be shifting next year into a bit more focus on actionable things that you can do to help navigate your own personal health, because I have found that it is really important for us more now than ever to learn our own bodies and understand that there's a lot we actually have more impact on directly by not only the food we eat, but by the lifestyles we live, you know. And a lot of things are not so clear cut as like, you need to eat clean and you need to lift this much and you need to have some unrealistic lifestyle. Like, that's not actually necessary to achieve your best health. So I plan to bring a lot more resources for you guys next in season three next year. So stay tuned for all of that and continue, you know, to share and rate our show so we can continue to grow. You know, we grow on Apple and some of the other major podcasts. We are the most listened through, like Spotify, by your guys' reviews. So if you have a moment, please share a little Christmas gift with us and rate and review our podcast. That means the world to us. If you want to review on Apple, I think it's only able to be done by doing it from a computer, which can be a little bit annoying. If there's an easier way that's through phone, hopefully you can find it. But all I've ever seen is that you can just throw an amount of stars easily. I don't know how to actually like put a typed up reviews. So anyways, just letting you guys know, we would really appreciate that if you could take the time to do that. And, you know, again, just thank you so much for being a listener, being a rebel, and I can't wait for next season with you guys. But today's episode, we are jumping into all of the highlights from some of our most popular nutrition episodes throughout this year. And a lot of them were kind of surprising that they were more popular than other topics, which, you know, is always so interesting being in the podcasting world and looking at the analytics. So we're going to be discussing a lot of different angles when it comes to microplastics, nutrition labels, and the whole conversation in what I had called the Great Dairy Debate, where we discuss a little bit about some of the highlights from the dairy episode and the alternative milk episode. So those were some of the most popular episodes for nutrition conversations from this last season. So we are going to be sharing just some of the little important clips in today's episode. So enjoy those if you did not listen to any of those or you're new to the podcast. All right. So thank you again for listening and sit back and enjoy the best of 2024 nutrition highlights. Every milk that you choose, pick what works the best for you. You know, be insightful. How does your body feel when you're drinking it? You know what I mean? You can use one for a couple weeks, see how you feel, then use a different one a couple weeks, see how you feel there. And then that can help you choose what is your go-to baseline milk. It's also good to say that you should consider a variety of different milks. You don't have to just do one. You know what I mean? And in fact, I would say you probably shouldn't just do one. So think about that as we kind of talk through all the different milks today. And at the end, again, like I said, I was going to give you kind of my top three of the golden milks. Not actually golden milk. Golden milk is good. But golden top three milk choices that I believe when you stack them up against the other options, they are the superior options with the least added ingredients. Okay, so first, what are the basics of milk nutrition in general? Not just cow's milk, just all the milks. Like, what is the point of it, right? So historically, we started drinking more milk, particularly cow's milk, because we needed to nourish the nation, especially as it grew, in a way that was easier with really dense nutrients. So especially traditional cow's milk, like less adulterated cow's milk. Nowadays, most of our standard milk in a plastic jug in the store is very adulterated. That's what I'm going to call it. But traditional cow's milk is super high calcium, vitamin D, protein. It has natural fats and it has natural carbs in the form of milk sugars. And so it technically is a complete meal, quote unquote, because it has all of those nutrients involved in it. It has carbs, fats, and proteins. If you haven't listened to the macronutrient series, episodes 19 through 23, I believe, 22, definitely go listen to those. They're going to rock your world. But what I want to make sure you know is that milk was brought into our world because it was an easier way and a faster way to get more nourishment to more people. I mean, it's been around longer. I mean, there were tribes and just different countries that utilized cow's milk, especially Scandinavian countries. More on that in a second. But it's not necessarily in a way where we drank it as frequently as we started to, especially here in the US. And that we, you know, pushed towards factory farms for dairy and all that kind of icky jazz. But people like to utilize milk, you know, for cereal, for mixing into oatmeal, for making into like baked goods. You know, there's a whole lot of different reasons people use milks, but it's essentially kind of another way to supplement more nutrients into your diet with something that's like creamier. I didn't really look back into like when cereals became more of a thing, but I do know that cereals became more of a thing because they also were trying to find ways to get more specific nutrients into the growing population, especially after the Depression, as they were fortifying a lot of these cereals with nutrients that people were deficient in. And so I wonder kind of how much the milk and cereal kind of went hand in hand. But I do know that people were still drinking glasses of milk, especially if they owned dairy cows and they had a farm. So it's not necessarily super new, but the way we create our milk now is definitely modern. So a lot of the reason people move away from dairy, you know, for somebody like me who at the age of 6, I believe,
I discovered through a very delicious bowl of oatmeal with a big splash of whole milk and brown sugar and butter that I was lactose intolerant. If you don't know my genetic background, I am like a quarter Japanese, and Japanese do not do very well with dairy because genetically, historically, we did not have dairy cows available for us, really. And a lot of Pacific Islanders and Asians in general don't really do well with a lot of dairy for that reason. And that kind of brings me back around to the Scandinavian countries and such, and some in like the European areas, is that where your lineage of your genetics are, if you have strong genetics, like if you're a super mutt, like I'm getting into mutt zone, like I call myself a mutt, because I do have German and Norwegian from my mother's side. But if you are somebody who's like super mixed, like your parents were mixed, and then, or your grandparents, your great grandparents, you know, if everybody's like mixing, it could be a little bit convoluted for this concept that I'm going to bring up. But if you have pretty strong genetic ties and you know your ethnic background, you can determine a lot of what your body will be better at digesting by that. So a lot of Scandinavian countries had a lot of dairy often. And so therefore, a lot of, you know, more Caucasian people or just people of that descent in general digest dairy just fine. So there's a lot to be said about not necessarily one size fits all when it comes to, is dairy, like cow's dairy, bad for you? Because it totally is fine for some people, especially certain quality dairy. Quality dairy matters a ton. We're going to talk more about that. But when you think about it, your body is going to do the best with the most familiar ancestral foods. That is very common. So if you eat more similar to how your genetic lineage has eaten, that can help you have a better gut situation if you are always struggling with digestion and all that kind of stuff. The biggest downside to soy milk, especially if it's not organic, is that it contains more than other plant-based milks and plant-based products. It contains more phytoestrogens than you should have on a daily basis. This is really interesting. I have an interesting story for you guys here in a second. But the thing that's really important is that some people like to drink soy milk because it does have a good 9 essential amino acid profile, which makes it closer to a complete protein. But the long-term consumption of it, when you're consuming a lot of these phytoestrogens, which is basically a plant-based estrogen that your body doesn't produce through your own natural endocrine system, it's gained only through eating plants that are classified as phytoestrogens. So soy is a major one for that. Even though it's natural, it can be a way for your body to have and accumulate too much estrogen, and it can very much and has contributed to a lot of people's hormone imbalances, like the situation called estrogen dominance in both men and women. So soy milk in the grocery store that is most available, especially if it doesn't say organic, it's highly processed and genetically modified and typically has quite a bit of pesticides involved in it. So steering clear from soy milk is my usual best recommendation. I would say it's pretty low on the totem pole of top milks that I would recommend that you drink for health, especially if it's something you drink consistently once in a while, totally okay. You know how it goes. But I do want to make sure that you know that I would not recommend you drink that weekly. But the interesting story I was going to say is on the phytoestrogen note, I actually had a client who would drink about, I would say, a venti soy latte with one of her girlfriends that she would walk with 3 times a week, but big venti latte. And she came to me and she was like, oh no, you know, my mammogram came back that I have these little like calcifications, like potentially precancerous showing up, and they're like kind of everywhere in my breast tissue and blah, blah, blah. My doctor's like wanting me to try to like start to evaluate, you know, to make sure that if I need to go in for some preventative cancer care, yada, yada. I was like, first thing I think, as usual, what are you eating? So I asked her, well, what do you consume daily? Do you consume a lot of soy? Because I remember in my schooling that soy is a phytoestrogen. And if you are somebody who is more trending towards cancer, especially breast cancer, you usually are a person who doesn't process estrogen in a healthy detox pathway. And that means that you could be negatively influencing that trajectory of cancer cells developing because of estrogen if you're also consuming phytoestrogens because you're raising the estrogen load in your body. So I asked her, I was like, are you drinking soy milk? And she goes, yeah, I have my venti soy latte like 3 or 4 times a week. I was like, okay, you know, like I just said, learn in school, this or that, phytoestrogens, big issue. Maybe try cutting that out and see how it goes. She's like, oh, bummer. She's like, what milk can I switch to? And I was like, well, you know, you can try almond milk or you can switch to like a different kind of coffee or tea, you know, this or that. And so she cut it out. She had to go back for her like month marker screening for a mammogram because they saw all of these. And literally in a month, guys, and I'm not making the story up, I could call her, I almost said her name. She'd never listen to this, so it wouldn't matter. But I like to keep my clients, you know, kind of anonymous on my podcast. But anyways, she was like, you will never believe it. Literally, I have no more of those calcifications showing up on my mammogram. And I was like, are you serious? And she's like, yeah, they're completely gone. There was nothing there anymore. And my technician was like, what happened? And she's like, I cut out my soy lattes. And she was like, oh my God. And so when people say that like, oh, the soy thing isn't real with the estrogens, it really is. It really is. Especially if you're going for like barista soy, they don't care if it's organic. You know, most cafes you go to, they care about the bottom line like any other business. And they're going to just buy, unless they say it outwardly, they're just going to buy the regular cheapest stuff, you know, the mass produced stuff. So be very intentional about your soy milk consumption. If you are somebody who is dealing with like estrogen dominance, if you have a lot of body fat patterning in your thighs, in your belly, in your boobs, you are potentially somebody who is estrogen dominant, like excess, like it's not just natural fat. It's like you're above the 40% body fat zone. That is something to be paying attention to. And you do really want to make sure of that, especially if you have any sort of breast cancers in your family. Microplastics, you can kind of think of them as like teeny tiny little pieces of plastic, no bigger than like a sesame seed on your hamburger bun. They're considered, you know, regular plastic when it gets bigger than that, I guess, in the scientific world, but they are often microscopic. So the reason why I have seen like New York Times and several other big news sources have been putting out information like, oh my gosh, we just discovered there are literally thousands and millions of microplastics in your water bottles. You know, like your tiny, tiny little water bottles can have so many microplastics in them, unfortunately. And they're finding this out now because we actually have microscopes that can see them. So similar to like the science of gut health, where we are learning so much more because we actually have technology that can study the gut microbiome. It's the same exact kind of concept for microplastics. This is why we are finding them more now. And the conversation is getting a little bit stronger because we can actually see them. And then we're like seeing more of them. And we're like, holy shit, there's a lot of plastic in our water. And that is problematic because we don't want to have that in our body because we're just drinking it, right? And foreign particles that go into our body don't always get expelled, especially when they're really tiny. So this is posing a lot of issues, especially in the female body, because we carry a higher body fat percentage. And body fat, unfortunately, stores a lot of toxins. This is kind of one of those things that is a downside of excess body fat, is that it's also kind of a storage ground for a lot of these different chemicals and toxins in general. So that's why females are a little bit more susceptible to holding on to a lot more of these toxins, because we tend to have naturally higher body fat percentages for reproduction and a whole bunch of different reasons. That's a little kind of scientific look into why we are seeing this become more of an issue and how we are able to see them. So they start out as big plastic items like soda bottles, grocery bags, you know, toys, makeup containers, etc. And over time, when these big plastics kind of age, or they're sitting in the sun, like falling apart and or getting just tossed around, or, you know, when water bottles are sitting in your car in the sun because your car gets significantly hotter if it's a sunny day, it breaks down some of the plastics into super small particles, little tiny pieces. And it's how we get a lot more plastic into our life. This is why you've seen a lot more people move towards stainless steel or glass for their water bottles, and I highly recommend that. That's what I do personally, because as I've learned more and more over the years about microplastics and such, and living in a hotter state like California, even when I was living in Oregon, when we'd get a lot of sun, it still gets hot in the car enough. I knew that these were things that would leach into the water, because have you ever just like left a plastic water bottle? Like a lot of people used to have Nalgene's back in the day because they were like at Costco and whatever, any plastic water bottle in general, and you leave it in your car, and like over time, if you don't drink it over the next couple of days and then you take like a swig, it's like, ew, it tastes weird. Like, could you taste sometimes it tasted plasticky? And unfortunately, that's because plastic was leaching into your water over time, and it's gross.
And let's get into what I personally look at first when deducing a nutrition label.
First thing I do is actually not what you'd expect. I think some people would expect to look at the calories or the serving size. No, I don't waste my time unless the test is passed from looking at the ingredients list. So first, I will always look at the ingredients list. So if I'm purchasing either like a pasta item, or let's just go with some chips or something like that. I'm not a big chips fan. I was not raised on chips, so I don't default to chips. But if you are a chips person, let's say you buy potato chips, okay? The first ingredient, you would really like to see potatoes, right? I mean, that's dominantly the item that you're trying to eat. So if the number one ingredient is not potatoes, red flag, put it away. You're not going to get what you're looking for, okay? And the other thing, like again with pasta, the first thing you should see is probably whatever is the dominant binder. So you're going to either see like wheat products or any type of flour of whatever, like rice flour, if you're going for like a rice pasta or a rice-based pasta, wheat or semolina or einkorn flour, you know, a whole lot of those types of grains are going to be the first ingredient. Chickpea, if you're doing a chickpea pasta, things like that. Okay. So you always want to see the number one ingredient be what is advertised on the package. So if it's a, again, rice-based, let's say brown rice pasta, number one ingredient should be brown rice flour, whatever. Okay. And then next, you will usually want to see something like water was involved, or a variety of other ingredients that helped to create whatever it is that are recognizable. Okay, so if you don't recognize it, again, your body will not recognize it either. So if you can't figure out what the heck the thing is, your body is probably going to be confused while it's digesting it. And we have not a lot of intel on exactly what happens to certain like chemicals and things that go through our body that are artificial, other than we do know that a lot of it tends to build up if it's not processed out naturally. If we have back, it can back up our detox organs, such as like your liver and your pancreas and all that kind of stuff, and your stomach, your intestines. It can cause leaky gut. It can cause, well, which is caused by inflammation, because when your gut lining is inflamed long-term, it's going to open up those little gaps that are in the cell walls, and then food particles and things get into the bloodstream, and then that can go all the way to things like Hashimoto's thyroiditis. So we know a lot more now about some of the ways it impacts our gut and the inflammation, but we don't know what all those exact chemicals can do. However, we have seen a lot of evidence that there's a lot of carcinogenic activity, especially when it comes to highly, highly processed, man-made in a lab meats, for example, you know, with a lot of the vegan fake meats, Beyond Meat, all that, even though it's cool, maybe it looks good, maybe it tastes good, but it is completely foreign, completely made in a lab. Just because it's recommended generally as safe doesn't mean your body actually will react individually properly. And we do know now that they do cause cancer, because our bodies are like, what the heck is this weird fake thing that you keep putting in me? Can you just eat something real for once? So I would say be very conscientious about these fake alternative things, because again, if you read the chemicals in the back and they are very confusing and weird, I would steer clear. Okay. That is just a really good rule of thumb that nutritionists across the board, well-trained ones at least, will tell you, is you just got to know how to discern the ingredients list. One note though about the ingredients list is that everything is going to be listed by descending weight. So manufacturers can use like more than two forms of sugar and they will appear lower on the list. So you won't see them quite at the top. I mean, it's usually a red flag if within the first four ingredients there's sugar, unless you're eating it for it to be a carbohydrate source or a specific sugar source, you know, but just pay attention to how much sugar is in all these processed things that you eat. And because they add up, guys, they add up really fast. But they will add other forms of sugar lower on the list just so it's a little bit more vague and not as like obvious. And so that's something to pay attention to. And you'll see like little phrases like natural flavors or spices and things like that. You kind of have to pay attention to that as well, because sometimes that's also a very vague phrase. I'm going to talk about that here at the end in a moment, but those are things to be aware of, because it's like, if it doesn't explicitly say which spices or what natural flavors, that's a little bit of a yellow red flag as well. Okay. So oftentimes you will see things that say like some cane sugar, and then later lower down, it'll say brown rice syrup. And then it also say like high fructose corn syrup or something like that. That means that there's quite a bit of sugar actually involved in that food item. So just pay attention to those things. Those are like good little things to pay attention to when you are trying to decide if this food item has an okay amount of ingredients or if it has like just too many. I will always put it down if I just see like way too much junk and it's something that I am trying to eat for, I mean, nourishment. I mean, most of the time I'm looking at labels because I want to pick things that are going to nourish me. I eat 3 meals a day. And I'm an active person, so I need stuff that'll take care of me so that I can take care of myself. It's a form of self-love, guys. How you feed yourself is a form of self-love. So it's really important that most of the stuff that I purchase is understandable and has the right ingredients for what I'm looking for. There are, again, definitely times where I don't really care. I know that the label is whack and I'm going to look at it and be like, yikes, but I'm still going to eat some of these. And that's just like balance, or we can call that harmony, because balance typically means kind of like 50-50, you know what I mean? And I definitely am more of a 85-15, 80-20 at times. Sometimes 90-10, depends on what the goal is in the moment or what the situation is, you know.
All right, that's a wrap on our best of 2024 nutrition excerpts from the episodes. Honestly, for me, it was so hard to choose some of these because, as you guys know, I am a certified nutritionist. I love talking about nutrition. And so if I could make a best of nutrition, it would probably be a ton more excerpts than that. But we wanted to keep it a little bit more short and sweet for you guys. Go check out the rest of those episodes if you were intrigued by them and you hadn't listened to them before. We'll put those in the show notes for you. But tune in next week for our best of women's wellness, because, you know, last year, first season, we had pretty defined categories of like nutrition, fitness, and mindset. However, as the evolution of Rebel Wellness has gone on, you know, we've definitely honed in a lot more on women's health topics. So our next best of is going to be some of my favorite excerpts from our best episodes from this year around all things women's wellness. So tune in next week for that one. It will launch next Monday, as always. And if you had a favorite episode that I did not feature, or something that you learned, or something you want me to do an episode on next season, season 3, 2025, DM us on Instagram at Kaylee Loren or at Rebel Wellness Podcast, and come join our community if you haven't already. All right, Rebel, that's it for our Best of Nutrition episode. As always, celebrate your strength, walk with confidence, and I will catch you next week on another Best of episode of Rebel Wellness. What did you think about that episode? If you enjoyed it, I hope that you would come join my community on Instagram at Rebel Wellness Podcast or my coaching page at Kaylee Loren, or both. I would love to see your name pop up on my new follows list. I might say hello if I catch you. And I would also like to invite you to come check out my website, coachkales.com, if you're interested in seeing any more of the educational learning resources I have created for you. I have a whole ton of amazing free downloads that you can like dip your toe in the water of what working with me looks like. And if you are really vibing with what I have to say and how I teach it, come explore my courses that are available for purchase. They are all do-it-yourself. In the near future, I plan to have some awesome group coaching that will be all live, so stay tuned for that. And the best way to know when I'm going to launch those is through my monthly wellness newsletter, which is my hand-curated, not AI-generated, monthly all things health and wellness newsletter that I created to be your new favorite resource for staying up to date with the latest in the health world, self-care resources that I've created, and a bunch of the clean beauty picks that I personally use myself and a whole lot more, as well as early access and discounts to anything that I create in the future for specifically my newsletter sign up. So if you'd like to sign up, head to coachkales.com and add yourself to my mailing list. Last but not least, I would absolutely love it if you would help our podcast grow by simply sharing a rating or review wherever you stream and are listening to me right now, and share it on your social medias or text it to some friends or family members if this episode resonated and was something that you think could help somebody else, because I really would love to help anybody in your circle if I've been helping you. So I absolutely am so grateful that you're here. And if you listened all the way through, you are a real one. So all right, Rebel, until next episode.